Welcome to the scene. I'm your host, Andrea Kruska, and today I'm joined by Samantha Ingold of the Odd Fox Co. If you were around Tennessee Legends Distillery at Art Prowl, you may have met her where she was set up. Samantha, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Of course. Why don't you tell me a little bit about what you do? Because it's a little bit different.
It is. Yes. So I guess generally I like to describe myself as a bone and skull artist. I work with a lot of elements of nature, stuff like that. My biggest areas where I do like bone painting and skulls, stuff like that. But yeah, generally that's the gist of it. I work with nature stuff in all stages of life.
And how'd you get started with this? Because most people have like their story of like, I painted and I had fun in, you know, elementary school and took art classes, and I'm assuming there's probably some of that, but then you went a little bit off the door. You took your own path.
I did.
Followed your own drummer, all that.
I don't really have any former training or, you know, I've never taken like art classes or anything like that. Art has kind of always been, I guess, naturally present in my life. Like you mentioned, like, you know, doodling in school, stuff like that. But I never really envisioned myself as becoming an artist one day. It just kind of, something clicked for me about 2 years ago. I wanted to get serious and what I was passionate about and, you know, trying to search around for what I was passionate about. That was kind of like a thing for me,
too. It's a challenge for everybody.
It can be, yeah. But I just sat down one day. I'm like, well, what do I like doing? And I like painting. It's, you know, therapeutic. I like kind of like the eclectic stuff like bones and stuff like that. So, I mean, why not put two together, you know?
It makes sense. And I mean, finding something you're passionate about, I'm always jealous of those people who know from like such a young age, like, I want to be a doctor
or
I
want to
be a teacher or like just they have that calling because I've certainly never had it. Like, I love what I do, both for full time and for my artwork. But it's never been anything where if I don't do it, I think I'm going to die.
Right.
Like, you know that feeling? So like finding your passion like that is amazing.
Yeah. And I was really worried for myself there for a little bit. Cause it's like, I feel like, you know, looking around at everyone else, they all know what they want to do and stuff. And I'm just over here like, I don't know. So I'm almost 30 and I don't know, but you know, it just kind of fell into my lap and I'm like so grateful for that.
And your 20s are about figuring it out.
Exactly. Yeah.
Like anyone who thinks you need to be like a successful adult, have everything figured out by 30 has not turned 30.
Right.
They're still like 14 and they think at 30 you're grown. You are not. And I'm learning that now at 40 still. So as you kind of got started, where did you start? Like, are you a nature person? Are you outside a lot? Like, are you just finding everything? Yes. Okay, tell me a bit about that.
So I'm originally from Florida and I moved here to this area probably about 5 years ago now. So I love spending a lot of time outside. Like, I completely fell in love with like this region of the country, the mountains, the forests, the woods, all of that. As far as like with the art and everything, it mostly comes from what I find outside and like nature walks and hiking and stuff like that. So yeah, like nature is absolutely like the big element of everything with me.
Love that. Talking about this region and nature and the woods and everything, there's a lot of folklore around here.
It's so awesome.
Lots of, you know, reported, I don't even know what they call them, but like the Tennessee version of the Sasquatch,
like
and everything.
Like the cryptids and all
of
that.
Yes, the cryptids. That's the word I wanted to say Corvid, and I'm like, I know that's not right. Does that kind of play into what you do? Like, do you like that little sense of mysticism?
I do, definitely, for sure. Just exploring the different kinds of cryptids in the area and doing the research on it is like so interesting for me. I feel like when I do like original art, just like on canvases and stuff rather than like on bones, I think it kind of comes out a little bit more for me because I like the mysticism of stuff. Like, I have a lot of the elements of like, you know, like, I don't even know what to call it, but like just like funky creatures, and they have like, you know, the three eyes and like horns where they shouldn't. And like, you know, it's definitely present in there.
Yeah, a little bit of the supernatural and odd and whatever.
Yeah.
I like it. We'll be right back on the scene with more with Samantha Ingold.
That rare 45 from the 1960s?
The one you wore out on your record player.
Search for the rare at Harper's.
That classic story of intrigue and mystery.
The book you can't put down.
Get a scare.
Or romance in the air.
At Harper's.
The hub for anything and everything creative.
Harper's rare books and collectibles.
If it's rare.
If it's groovy.
If it's one of a kind.
You just might find it at Harper's.
Just down from the depot in Cookeville's historic West Side.
The kind of place that's much less store and much more about the search.
Stroll, look, sit a spell.
Hang out, soak in the unique and the rare.
But be warned.
You just may be late getting back to work.
It's new every time you walk through the doors.
Harper's rare books and collectibles. 41 West Broad Street, Cookeville.
A one-of-a-kind book, collectible records, and unique treasures.
The community's hub for all things creative.
Harper's Rare Books and Collectibles.
Harper's Rare Books and Collectibles.
Cookeville's historic West Side.
Welcome back to the scene. I'm here today talking to Samantha Ingold of the Odd Fox Co. Samantha, you were telling me a little bit about when you're painting on canvases and a little less structured than doing the bone painting, you kind of let it all come out a little bit more.
I do. I don't know if it's a smoother like way for me to paint without all the curvature and stuff like that, but it's easier for me, I feel like, to express myself more. And I guess what I mean by that is a lot of the bone paintings I do, it's a lot of inspiration from like old wallpaper patterns and stuff like that. So it's like very like, you know, just like flowers and pretty things, stuff like that. So when I have the chance to paint on canvas, I feel like I have a lot more like creative freedom with it and a lot more comes out.
I can see that because I feel like when you're doing the bones, you kind of want to stick with something more natural and familiar. And I do think doing like the more wallpapery and floral patterns is like something very delicate and beautiful on a bone, which isn't, it's that oxymoron.
It brings like a balance there, I think.
Exactly. It's like when you see like bull skulls, the cow skulls, whatever those are, and they've put like roses around them and stuff. It's the same thing. It like adds like a little element of softness.
It does, yeah. Because most people, you know, when they see bones and skulls, it's a little bit macabre, you know, like it's unconventional art. So I think with definitely doing something with an art style that's a little bit more dainty and soft, it definitely does help balance everything out. And people can kind of look at it and have a different, I guess, perspective of it and just look at it a little bit differently.
Do people ever not realize that you're painting on actual bones?
Yes, I have a lot of people ask me, is this like a 3D print? Like, is this real bone? Blah, blah, blah. It comes out a lot. I was surprised about it at first, but yeah.
I can imagine. It's just, it's not something that's in people's wheelhouse.
Exactly.
It's not something they would do, so they don't understand it or they just don't expect it. And I'm sure some people are like, oh, that's super cool. And some people are like, ooh.
Yeah.
Which is fine because no one is going to do something that's for everybody.
Exactly. And that's the kind of like what I've had to tell myself with it because you do get feedback from different angles and stuff. I mean, everyone has their opinion, which is completely natural and fine.
That was like the most like diplomatic way of putting that because I'm like, yeah, and opinions are like something else. Everybody's got one.
Yeah, no, I try to tell myself like it's, you know, it's just them. It's not for everyone. Everyone has their own specific taste. So
do you ever do commissions?
Yeah.
Because I'm sure like there are definitely people who just must absolutely adore your style because it's so different. It's so not what we're used to seeing.
Yeah. Commission is actually probably 50 to 75% of most of my work.
People
reach out from all over and it's such a pleasure because most of the time it's like, I just want you to do whatever you do. Like, I want to give you your own artistic freedom to do it. And I love that, you know, I'm like, okay, so they give me like a few key ideas of what they like and stuff like that. But ultimately they're always like, yeah, just, you know, take the wheel and do your own thing. I'll love it regardless. And I'm like, okay, great. I love that.
That is awesome because I know a lot of artists take commissions and just get so frustrated doing them because they're trying to put their artistic spin mm-hmm. on someone else's vision. And it's very hard to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it makes me really happy. I'm a photographer and I do landscape photography. So I don't really ever have to worry about that. Like, yes, of course you want me to come take pictures of your lovely old barn with the flowers growing around it. I will, but there's only so much spin you can put on that. So
right. Yeah. It kind of really alleviates a lot of, like, you know, the pressure, I guess, on that, because it does exist. You know, you always want to make sure your customer is happy and that they love what you decided to come up with, I guess. So I get that.
Exactly. Do they mostly just come to you with, like, I want this color, or I want, like, this specific flower, or just, like,
not even.
Or just, like, they have a vibe they want
to
go with.
Most of the time, I have to, like, pry and ask questions, because they're just like, I want you to paint for me. I want a deer skull painted by you. I'm like, okay, great. Like, okay. Do you have any specific, like, color schemes you'd like to work with, or that would match, you know, decor in this room, or what elements do you like? So whenever I do commissions, I usually have specific questions I have to ask them.
That sounds like a lot of fun. We'll be right back on the scene with more with Samantha Ingold. You're back on the scene, and I'm here today talking to Samantha Ingold of the Odd Fox Co. We're talking about commissions and your canvases and all the different things you do. Which, between painting canvas, painting whatever you want to do, or doing a commission, which is your favorite?
I don't know. I think I teeter kind of between doing commissions and just having my own freedom. And I say that because, you know, sometimes it can be... you know, it has some pressure behind, like, coming up with something new. Like, oh my, is this going to sell? Is this going to be something popular amongst people? Stuff like that. So I do have a lot of fun doing commissions, because I kind of have, after talking with the customer, a specific route that I'm going to take with something. And it makes it to where everything flows a little bit easier for me.
I can see that. And part of it is, being an artist, once you start actually selling work, is you get bogged down in the, is this going to sell? Are people going to like this?
Yeah.
And it's so hard to, like, keep that out of your head. And then also you have the blank canvas.
Mm-hmm.
And the blank canvas is terrifying. And for some people, it's a blank film roll, a blank camera roll, blank sheets of music, whatever it is, as artists, that is absolutely terrifying.
Yeah.
Because it's always, what if I don't get inspired again?
Right. And yeah, that first step is definitely the hardest it can be in projects. And it's definitely been haunting for me a lot of times, more than not. But yeah, taking that first step, what I have found with it is just, you know, just you have to trust the process. Like, and even halfway through a lot, I will say, like, this isn't really coming out how I envision. But I have to kind of just squash that little voice in my head and just remind myself, trust the process. Yes. And let's just see how it looks at the end.
Yes, we don't listen to those little voices. We have to get past the little voices. But we all do it. It's always like, and you force yourself, like, you probably force yourself to pick up a paintbrush. I force myself to take my camera out and take pictures. And some days it's harder than others, but it's, you find your inspiration somewhere, even if it's finding inspiration in the mess you just made.
Right, exactly. And there have been so many, like, just beautiful projects that I've created out of something that was just, like, me playing around with something, or like a mess and stuff like that. So it's really cool to see how it, you know, develops.
So I've started asking this question because it's been very interesting since recently someone mentioned listening to Murder Podcast as she makes, like, beautiful botanical jewelry. What, like, when you're working, do you have music on? Do you have a podcast on? Are you, like, zoned out? Like, walk me through just, like, 5 minutes in your day.
So most of the time I like to spend it in sheer silence. And I think a lot of that comes from having a 3-year-old all the time.
Oh yeah. You want your silent time for sure.
So it's like a therapeutic process for me when I'm painting. But then there's a lot of times where I will have, you know, just the playlist playing in the background, listening to soft music. I listen to a lot of podcasts too. If I'm having, like, a particularly hard day for myself where it's just hard to get motivated and inspired, I like to listen to a lot of self-help. That really kind of, like, you know, brings me out and, you know, gets me in the right mindset to finish something or create.
For me, it's Casey and the Sunshine Band, Boogie Shoes. That song just like, no matter what, it's got a smile on my face. Mm-hmm. It has me pumped up and has me wanting to go out and do things. So
yeah,
it's a little cheesy, but I don't care. It's so great. Everyone listen to it. So you just did your first art prowl.
Yes.
How was that?
It was amazing. I was so super excited just like leading up to it. Because it's been something that I've wanted to do for a few years now, but I've always somehow missed that deadline for it. So I was super excited, super pumped up for it. It was an amazing 2 days, even just being with the artist neighbor that I had at the distillery. She was amazing. But meeting people, having conversations with other artists, local businesses, it was really something special for me.
It really makes you see like how this community just embraces yes. artists, mm-hmm. even if it's not something that appeals to them. They're still like, oh, cool.
Yes, this so is supportive. Amazing. I love awesome. It. Awesome.
How can people find you?
I guess the best way would be my website, which is oddassfox.com and oddfoxco and all my socials. I'm hoping actually really in the beginning of the year to expand on having some of my stuff featured in a lot of local businesses around here too. So
perfect. Well, everyone watch out for Odd Fox Co. around Cookeville. Check out her socials and thanks so much for being on the show.
Thank you.